Yeah. And yo, Black, it's time.
Bird,
it's time, man. It's time, man. Alright, begin.
I got to talk. I gotta tell what I feel. I gotta talk about my life as I see it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I like to know.
Are you ready for start time?
Yeah. Okay, well, let me kind of move these things around here, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what this is coming down through the audience, but look like he just came out of the basement.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, because calls now.
Get ready.
Yeah. We dedicate this to these people out here getting banged.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted.
And I own this $500 million shiny suit.
Looking like a bag of money.
Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
You see this watch? That watch costs more than your car. I made $970,000 last year. How much you make?
Somebody in the house say yeah. If y'all really like to rock the funky beats, somebody in the house say hell yeah. I like that for the people up top. Check this out.
A, B, C. A always, B, B, C closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. If you want to work here, close.
Okay, I'm reloaded.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show. The Ball Street Journal, where we always have the best seats in the house. We are your mobile quarterbacks, your Ball Street Journal reporters, if you will. D, Floyd, and Ronnie. Fellas, how y'all doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic. We're starting to get into my time of year in the NFL season. We always love the actual season, but the off season is always as interesting. Draft time's coming around. Combines, pro days, all types of workouts. So let me toss it over to my man, Ronnie, the gym rat of the crew. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, D. We're going to talk about not necessarily who should be drafted where, but is this a fair system to the players? From a business side, is this the right way to go about it for the leagues themselves? But before we get into that, he's always our first pick. He's always getting that big signing bonus. It's our super producer, our main man, Floyd. What's going on, sir?
I'm feeling good, feeling great, guys. Always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation with you all and to share that with our fans. As usual, check us out on Twitter at Section 357. Search for us on iTunes as well as on the Stitcher app for mobile devices. A simple search for the Section 357 show plugs you into our show where you can subscribe and download all of the past episodes. With that being said, let's get this show kicked off. Jadeveon Clowney, star defensive end for the South Carolina Gamecocks, raised a bit of a ruckus in the sports media world where some rumors may have leaked out, not sure if it was from his camp or from folks around South Carolina, that said that there's a chance that he might sit out his junior season just to preserve himself for the draft, or maybe even petition to go into this current year's draft. So let's start there with what your gut reaction was when you heard that Jadeveon Clowney might consider going into these uncharted territory, or I guess these uncharted waters.
Right off the bat, I thought it was a bad idea. I know the NC2A isn't the best situation for talented players. In the violent sport of football, there's always the risk of injury. But players, and we've talked about this before, I've argued about this before, players want to play, coaches want players who want to play. A player, even a top player like him, voluntarily taking a year off to save himself from injury, even though he's got all the physical talents, is not going to sit well with a lot of coaches. It wouldn't drop him very far in the draft, but I think it would hurt him in the minds of others.
The biggest issue for Jadeveon Clowney sitting out his junior year is that, unlike basketball, where you can go work at an IMG academy and really work on your jumper, your lateral quickness, you can work on your actual game. Football, there just isn't pickup football going on anywhere. There's only so many O-line, D-line drills you can do against some little 180-pound trainer. So the lack of activity is the biggest thing that would hurt him. I don't think he would get picked number one having not played football in a year. But let's take this to the business side of things, Floyd. The draft as a process. Now, obviously, different sports, different rules. What do you think about the draft as a process for bringing in new talent? Is it fair, unfair? What do you think about the process of the draft?
I don't know if there's a better system. I know when we talk about EPL action, or I guess Euro soccer slash football in general, they're able to identify talent at a much earlier age and have guys in their academy, and they kind of bring guys up that way. So I understand that. But the draft here in the States, whether it's basketball or football, or I guess even in baseball, it does on its surface ensure some sort of competitive balance. When you look at how the teams are structured, how the salary cap is, especially in football, I don't know. Well, in baseball, it's a tad bit different. But in football, I would say that the draft does ensure that the teams that are not successful can have a better shot. Not a guarantee, but a better shot at getting better and or staying competitive. I mean, you look at all of the number one picks that can turn around a franchise. So I think overall it's a good system, but at the same time, nothing is foolproof or guaranteed.
Paul, I think the NFL and the NCAA's joint system is probably the best that there is right now. I don't like what's going on with NCAA basketball with the one-and-done factor. I think it hurts both the college game and the pro game, as well as hurting the players. With the NCAA football being essentially a farm system for the NFL, it allows players to get themselves known. They can build up stock before they go pro. So you see players like, say, a Tim Tebow, who as soon as he comes out can get deals and endorsements that it's a little harder for one-and-done players in basketball, I think, to get because they're not known. That being said, the one drawback with this all is the amount of revenue and money that the college players bring in. You see a star like Clowney who can really rack up some money but is not allowed to get paid, and that certainly is where the problem lies, but that's a problem with college ball, not with the draft process.
Ronnie, let me just be here right quick, because I feel like the good thing that the NFL does do, good is a relative word, obviously, but I think that what I would say the helpful thing from a talent management standpoint that the NFL does do is have the combine, where everyone is able to see the incoming prospects, judge them against each other when it comes to their physical attributes. Now, none of this corresponds directly to how they play in a team environment, but at least with the physical stature of these players, I think the combine does a great job of sort of evening out the playing field, letting everyone put their talent on display. Ronnie, I wish the NBA had something along the lines of the NFL's combine, where you could get all the draft prospects together and sort of grade them against each other, rather than all these private workouts that you sort of hear about between teams and players that go on prior to the NBA draft.
The problem with the NBA's pre-draft evaluation is that, unlike the NFL, which pretty much has events, like the combine is part of an event. The Senior Bowl is part of an event where players interview with teams. The NBA's pre-draft management is more, it's the individual workouts that you talked about. There's a couple of smaller tournaments in Virginia, there's one in Florida, and they have kind of a big, if you want to call it Final Four-esque thing in Chicago. But the individual workouts do have a lot more emphasis than the combine, than like a Senior Bowl type event. But this gets back to the draft process as a whole. We talk about we in America, you know, with our system for work. Should there be age limits to work? Is there certain, should there be requirements? We talk about tennis, no age limit. Football, European, no age limit. In a capitalistic society, should there be age limits to work and athletics? Now, obviously, 9-to-5 job, you need certain degrees, certain level of work experience. But for athletics, should there be that age limit? Because in England, they say, if you're good enough, you're old enough. Start with you, D. Age limits in any sports, should there be?
I can't say in any sport now, but like I said, I do like what football is doing in terms of not taking players until 3 years after they graduated from high school. I think the Jadeveon Clowney example we brought up is the exception that proves the rule. You really can't have an 18-year-old playing with the men in the National Football League. It's just not safe. I don't think it would work. Football is just a different sport from soccer, from tennis, from baseball, and even to a lot of extent from the NBA. And let me turn there for a second. I do think that they should reinstitute the age limit in basketball because, as I said, I really think the one-and-done aspect is hurting the sports. I believe we talked about this before. My fix for the NBA would be you can either come straight out of high school or you have to go to college for 3 years.
And my argument for age limits or something approaching that in sports, especially in the team sports, comes down to quality of play. When it comes to the NBA, I think the quality of play in terms of what the athlete's skill sets are has been diminished by the one-and-done rule, and especially when you look at guys who are just kind of passing through out of Kentucky. When I think about some of the athletes who stayed at college for 3 years, who played in college ball, who understood how to be coached, who understood how to think their way around the game, I feel like the players that are coming out today, even the one-and-done guys, are better athletes, but their skill set is a tad bit limited to me in terms of quality of play on the court from what I see. And even going back to football, I think some of these age-limit conversations – really, when you look at it from a business standpoint, I think these player unions are kind of happy that these age limits are in place. They may be fighting it on one end, but they benefit from it on the other end because you have job security for a handful of guys every year. Because what you would see is that you get younger and younger guys taking the place of some of these veterans, and I think that the veterans are happy that someone like Jadeveon Clowney can't just come in after a year, 2 years and take their job. So I think while we have some younger guys or prospects in college who may want that rule dropped, I think the actual professional players are glad that it's there to protect their job security and their dollars.
That's a great point, Hall. I want to toss something else out to you, brothers, real quick. Speaking of the business aspects of things, the NFL certainly wants to make the draft process, the combine, must-see TV. They've already expanded the draft to make it 3 days, putting it on primetime TV. Now there's talk about expanding the entire off-season process, highlighting some smaller schools and having more regional combines where you have, and this is the word that the NFL has used, an American Idol-type competition where players kind of work their way up and are able to get into a big combine. The NFL wants to essentially have one big event every month in the offseason. So you'll have the combines, free agency, and then the draft, and they will be pushed back a little. I know you two brothers aren't big on the whole draft process. You're not probably big on the combine. Do you think this would turn you on more to the NFL's offseason or turn you off?
It would turn me neutral. I can acknowledge that it exists. I can choose to watch it or not watch it. I don't think it will change my stance on the NFL as a product in terms of how I interact with it. But I do believe that the NFL, as a marketing device, as a marketing vehicle, always finds ways to push the product because they recognize once their season is over, what do we do now? We create platforms to continue to push our product, advertise our brands and our teams. And I think that while some folks may not like it, I don't think that's enough to make you not watch the games once they start in September. So I don't see a real downside to it for the NFL. I just feel like it's just them doing what they do better than anyone else. On the flip side, as you mentioned, about this sort of open process, again, I go back to the point about the NBA. I think if you had open workouts or however they want to structure it, where you got a chance to see some of these players against one another prior to the draft, I think it would change a lot of perception about these players versus having it be one or two guys who get to, so to speak, as the experts. Because I'm pretty sure if I could hop into the hot tub time machine and see a pre-draft workout of Chris Paul as well as a Marvin Williams, when it came down to that draft, Marvin Williams would have never got drafted by the Hawks. I feel like the public outcry or just that swell of public sentiment would have definitely influenced that draft in a whole different direction.
The one issue I think the NFL would have with that situation is our agents, who we know have controlled this process, are they going to sign up for this? Because to me, if you're really going to make this an American Idol style event, if you're going to make this something for public consumption, then you have to have contact. So guys have to be willing to put pads on. And again, are you willing to govern? Okay, I understand you're trying to get your draft position up. You don't really want to get hurt, but you still have to go through the drill as if this is a real game. So the issue for that thing with the NFL is going to be, how do you legislate contact into this? Because we've seen the issues with the Pro Bowl and that whole situation. And are fans really going to sign up to watch guys not necessarily go through the motion, but know that they're not going to be hitting full speed action? So I know the NFL can make money anywhere, but they would have to really kind of show me how they're going to do this before I would really sign up for it.
Yeah, just real quick, it seems like a risky proposition to me. The combine is nice, you know, the workout warriors, but at the end of the day, it's players running around in their underwear. And what makes a football player a football player is football. So, Ronnie, I agree with you. They're going to have to tweak what type of workouts they do, because there's only so many times I can watch somebody run a 40 or watch an offensive lineman do the three-cone drill.
D, I agree with you on that. But let's put a pin in the conversation for right now and come back to this maybe closer to the draft and sort of see if our opinions of any of this have changed. Let's put the music right now, take a break, and then come back with our last call for alcohol or something like it after this. We'll be right back.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment, so overdue I owe them, swept away.
Back to the show. This is the Section 357 show where we always have the best seats in the house. Last call for alcohol or something like it. Ronnie, what do you have, man?
Speaking of the NFL Combine, I want to give a mini HBCU play of the week. Shout out to Arkansas Pine Bluff offensive lineman Mr. Taren. I'm going to call him Mr. Taren, because when you a big man and you run a 4.7 in the 40, you break the combine record for 40 by offensive lineman, you got to get some love. So I'm going to just call him Mr. Taren from Arkansas Pine Bluff, mini HBCU player of the week. Good luck in the draft process, sir. Keep representing the SWAT.
D. Last call for alcohol, sir, or something like it. What do you have?
Allow me to blue sky real quick when we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney. I am not a fan of the NCAA system. I've always wanted a player to take it on. If there were a way for Jadeveon to sit out this year, this is how I think he should do it. I think he needs to go ahead and get himself an endorsement deal. Go ahead and make your money now. And then let the NCAA and Dr. Emmert, with all of their problems, come down on him for trying to make some money in his own way. I think then he is the one rare player that has enough clout, that has the ability, that has enough name recognition where he could sue the NCAA and we could finally see a big chink taken out of their armor. But these opportunities only come once in a while, and unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen.
With that being said, my last call for alcohol always goes out to the fans. Check us out on Twitter at Section 357. Find us on Facebook, on Tumblr, on Stitcher, on Podomatic, on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. We're all over the place. Just do a simple search for the Section 357 show, and everything should pop up right there. With that being said, good luck to you and your favorite team out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.